American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And hello, everyone. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, March 4th, 2005. Good day. This would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. If you don't happen to subscribe to the general idea that core political tyranny is not trying to, that core political tyranny is trying to enslave you, if you don't believe that, then you need to give your head a big shake. Or conversely, go get a bicycle tire, cut the inner tube out of it, tighten it up so it makes a headband, pull the headband back, and snap yourself the fuck out of it. Because it's all over the news. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look, you can see that corporations are trying to take away our rights, and pretty soon every kind of law is going to be a labor law, and there's not going to be much you can do about that. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which is at livejournal.com, under Sean_Kennedy is my name of the journal, I guess, or it's conversely, I call it now Secret Message, so you can probably find it that way too. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, boy, oh boy, do I ever drop the ball a lot. I make mistakes all the time. You know what? And I think that that's a good thing that people make mistakes. I was reading this book the other day, one of those Deepak Chopra books, The Book of Secrets, and he had this whole segment in there about how, you know, if a baby wanted to learn how to walk, but he said that I didn't want to fall down, and I don't want to look like an idiot, and I don't want to look stupid, and I want it to be over with as soon as possible, but I'll learn how to walk. Well, that's kind of the wrong approach to have to learn how to doing something. You know, you fall down, you don't really know what you're doing, and this is process of learning. This is what growth is all about. Now, I drop the ball all the time, and I don't feel bad about dropping the ball because it keeps me in check, for one thing. It kind of humbles me a little bit. I realize that I don't know everything, so that's okay. And looks like I really screwed up on one. I was giving out a fact that more guys had died in Iraq than they had in Vietnam. And I'd heard that somewhere, and I'm trying to remember where, because I'd like to go back and throttle them, because quite obviously I was way off on that. But I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, first piece of feedback is from Lawn Care Pro, and Desert Runner told me that Christ Church, now that was where they were doing this study about how marijuana makes you insane and all this kind of jazz and makes you twice as likely to become a psychopath who's going to run around with chainsaws and stuff like that. That's what the study said from New Zealand. And I thought that Christ Church, it was the name of the place, and it was Christ Church something in New Zealand. So I thought that was the name of the organization. Unfortunately, there's actually a city in New Zealand called Christ Church. Fuck. You know, I would want to try to get a blowjob down there. Or maybe they got a good red light district. That'd be cool. Hey, maybe you guys could let me know that. Because that'd be just hilarious. You know, where'd you go to get your hooker? Oh, I went in the back alleyways of Christ Church, New Zealand. Whoa, that's hardcore, you know. Weird nuns all dressed up funky like. You know, it'd be like an anime episode. So sorry about your luck there, Kiwis, that you got a shitty name of a city in your country. We should change that to maybe not Christ Church. How about politically correct name. I don't know. We'll just change the name of that place. I don't know. Do you like the name? But apparently it is a name of a city in New Zealand. And also, more on the straight dope regarding that bullshit weed story. I got some feedback here. Regarding the weed doubles mental health risk story, it's bullshit. Ah, I see. It's based on a false cause fallacy post hoc ergo promoter hoc that they found that those who smoke pot are more likely than non-pot smokers to have mental issues. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the individuals have the issues before or after they began smoking pot? Did they start smoking pot because they had mental issues and began smoking as a coping mechanism? Furthermore, if pot increases mental health risk, why can't they give us anything more solid than that? How does it double the risk? Aspirin thins my blood to help relieve my headache every time I take it. Alcohol is filtered through my liver every time I drink it. Yet weed can make me crazy only some of the time. Couple this with the basic logical fallacy that this research is based, and the previously mentioned false cause fallacy, that this study ends up smelling strongly to me of gutter science. And that's from Set, which is a very, you know, solid point. And also, yeah, it does smell a lot like gutter science. And furthermore, you know, we do have the tests of a wide usage of this drug, and no one's killing each other with chainsaws on weed. It's always booze. I mean, you know, cut the shit. Maybe you don't like alcohol much, but you can't tell me that weed is worse than alcohol. You can't feed me that, because just look at the crime specs. If you're going to ban something, ban booze before you ban weed. That's just my whole, you know, take on that. Now, granted, some people say that it's a gateway drug. Now, this is kind of an interesting idea, because they go, well, it's a gateway drug. Once you smoke weed, before you know it, they're both smoking, right? No, it doesn't really work like that. Nice try, though. The way it actually kind of works, now, they are kind of correct, because once you try, like, they make weed illegal, right? And then they put all this scare shit out there where they're like, oh, yeah, weed's terrible, it'll kill you, it doubles mental insanity. So kids go, they try weed, and they go, wait a minute, these studies are full of shit, man. Weed doesn't do this. And then the critical flaw comes up where they go, I wonder what other studies are wrong. You see what I mean? And then they start looking at a little bit more harder drugs because they think, well, if they're lying to me about this one drug, they're probably lying to me about all the drugs. And that's where it turns into an issue. Okay, every single chemical is different. You know, you can't just look at weed and go, oh, I guess heroin's okay. Now, not a lot of people do that, but some do, believe it or not. People get weird like that. There's people who smoke weed for like 10 years, and then all of a sudden they decide, oh, to hell with it, I'm going to try some other chemicals because I'm already smoking weed. You see what I mean? And that's why people think, oh, see, now weed's a gateway drug. Well, that's like saying that, you know, cars are street racing gateways. I mean, obviously people can get a car and use it responsibly, or they can use it irresponsibly. Guns lead to killing people. No, that's not the case. People kill people, okay? That's how it works, all right? You've got to get the whole mentality of, you know, if, then, therefore, you know, it doesn't really work like that. You have to have discretion, discernment, and judgment, okay? This is what all we as responsible adults and sentient beings have, apparently. Yet, you know, suddenly, oh, no, because your judgment is skewed by the weed. Pretty soon you think that everything's okay. No. I mean, there's obviously a certain curiosity. People aren't curious about crack because, you know, well, I mean, maybe they say, oh, I want to try every drug once. There's idiots out there like that, which I'm like, okay, well, you know, fuck, where do you draw the line? That's the dumbest shit ever. Then you have your psychonauts who are like, I want to trip out, you know, experience deep inner vortex emotions of, you know, the cosmic consciousness, you know, with self-transforming machine elves from hyperspace. Well, that's fine. You know, you can do that too. You want to make sure that, you know, the risk signing up for that is you could cook off your head. You might want to know that, you know, and once you go too far down the rabbit hole, you can't really get back out again. That's another danger. You know, so I don't advise that. I don't do that kind of thing myself. That's not my trip, but that's cool, you know. If people want to do that, I guess that we're all living I believe in a libertarian free society, so people should be able to experience that. Maybe I'm wrong, you know? But don't go telling me that, you know, if you smoke weed, all of a sudden you're going to turn into a psycho fucker, because I'll give it to you that there's more negative shit that goes on in any bar around the world than in a group of kids smoking weed in somebody's bedroom, okay? You just look at the dynamics of a bar and look at the dynamics where people generally smoke up, and the vibe is even different within these places. I mean, this is not over the top here. It's just very, very obvious. And on to my big fuck-up. Now, I said the other day in the show that more people have died in the Gulf War now than have died in Vietnam, and I can't remember where I heard that, and I wish I could. I really do, but I got scolded, and how? Check it out. Well, actually, he was very, very cool about this. He said, the Vietnam War cost the United States 58,000 lives and 350,000 casualties. It also resulted in between 1 and 2 million Vietnamese deaths. Vietnam's source, and he gives a digital history, Vietnam source. Now, the statistics I found on Iraq show that only 1,500 troops have died in Iraq and 10,000 have been wounded. These statistics show that 38.6 times more American soldiers died in Vietnam than in Iraq, and 35 times more American soldiers were wounded in Vietnam than in Iraq. As for civilian deaths, the latest data I can find is that shows that there are 100,000 civilians have died in Iraq, and that was from EXOSK, E-X-O-S-K. So, yeah, obviously, I was way the fuck off. Obviously, you know, I guess, why would that spec be running around? I did hear it somewhere. Okay, I did hear it somewhere. You'll have to forgive me. So my bad. I'll have to make sure I check some of my data more and more. But that's okay. You know, if you catch me with something that's wrong, okay, and you don't tell me, you've got to correct me on it. Now, we're talking hard data like this. This is a classic example of how to correct Sean. Okay, you send me the hard data so I can check it. You give me the link so I make sure it is hard data. And then I can check that and go, you know what? Hey, I reported something. It was fucked, whatever. A lot of my opinions are fucked, too. But, you know, you can't really scold me on an opinion. You know, a lot of people aren't really big with my death penalty thing. They don't like that. But that's okay, though. And, Exosk, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Because how else are we going to figure out what the hell's going on if I don't have you guys helping me give you the truth? So, on to the news. And here's a piece of truth right off the top. Do not fuck with Chuck E. Cheese. Aurora police have reviewed a weekend incident in which a man accused of stealing a salad from a Chuck E. Cheese salad bar was hit with a stun gun twice by officers said that proper procedures were followed. Okay, so I'm stealing the salad here, and I get hooked up to the jump meter. The incident began at 4.05 p.m. on Sunday when officers were called to a restaurant to report of a larceny in progress. Dun-dun-dun, green larceny. Police talked to the Chuck E. Cheese manager, who told them the customers had refused to show proof that he had paid for the food. Dun-dun-dun! The manager said the man was seen loading, quote-unquote, his plate at the salad bar. The officers confronted Danon Gale, 29, who was at the restaurant with his children, 3 and 7. Dun-dun-dun! So there's more than one of them. There was three of them. But patrons said the popular kids' pizza parlor was packed with children and families at the time. Aww. According to police, Gale was asked to step outside to discuss the incident. According to a witness, Gale refused to cooperate with the police, and a struggle ensued. That said Larry Martinez, a police spokesman. He said that Gale became argumentative and shoved one of the officers, a fact disputed by another patron. Now, this is where you need a camera cell phone. One of the officers kept poking the gentleman in the chest, Felicia Mayo told the Rocky Mountain News. She was with her 7-year-old son. She told the newspaper that Gale told the officer, "You don't have to do that." And she said Gale never put his hands on the officer who was confronting him. The argument escalated until Gale was shoved into the lap of Mayo's sister, who was sitting two booths away, holding a 10-month-old baby. That's when police pulled out a taser to subdue the guy. "They beat this man in front of all these kids. They tased him in my sister's lap. They have no regard for the effect this would have on the kids. This is Chuck E. Cheese, you know?" Jesus Christ. You know, the guy's ripping off a salad and a Chuck E. Cheese, which, you know, you couldn't get me into a Chuck E. Cheese, you know, seriously, with a crowbar and a shotgun. I just wouldn't go in there because there's too many fucking screaming kids, right? But and then he steals a salad. The cops show up and fucking taser the shit out of the guy. Gale's two children were screaming and hollering and crying as Gale was hit two times with a stun gun. Police arrested Gale and as his children and customers and other customers watched, no doubt poised mid-bite in their juicy fucking Chuck E. shakes. They took him outside, leaving his children inside the restaurant. Gale was arrested for investigation of disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and trespassing, whose two children were picked up by a relative. Now, all of this for a fucking salad. Now, what's the alternative here? Let's see how this could have gone differently. First of all, okay, the manager phoned the police regarding the salad at the Chuck E. Cheese. Now, a Chuck E. Cheese manager is probably a specially kind of deranged motherfucker because he honestly believes that, you know, what he's doing there is his life-changing work. That's his great contribution to the universe, is his management of this Chuck E. Cheese. So when the vile customer and his screaming children... Now, understand also, this manager probably, you know, should be seeking therapy and counseling as well, because you imagine being locked inside a Chuck E. Cheese for 40 hours a week? Holy Jesus. Anyway, so he's inside there. Guy comes in. He's ripping off salad, right? Now, you can call the police because you're having a bad day and you're like, "Fuck you. You can't belittle me. I am the Chuck E. Cheese manager." So he phones the police. The police show up and he's like, "I've got this man stealing." Okay, so now we have theft. So even though it's fucking salad, okay, it is still theft. So the cops go in. They're like, "Hey, guy, why don't we go outside? Did you pay for that?" "Fuck you." "Okay, did you pay for that?" "Fuck you, man." "Okay." Now, maybe the guy wasn't this bad, but let's just say he was. Okay, the guy says, "Fuck you, I'm not doing this, la, 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 la." And the cops are standing there, and manager's all venting, and there's children everywhere, and there's parents everywhere playing. Okay, so you know what? That salad is what? A dollar? A dollar, if that? So you, what do? You just tell the manager, "Look, okay, here's the deal, guy. This guy's banned for life. I mean, I can... Do you want to press charges for a $7 fucking salad? What do you want to do here?" And then at that point, it should have turned into a straight arrest. "Has he paid for it?" "Sir, you're being charged. Do you have the receipt for the salad?" He goes, "Yeah, I paid for it, but I don't have the receipt." "Well, we think that you may have stolen it. The gentleman here is prepared to you know, press charges, yada, yada, yada. You're going to have to come with us, and we have to sort all of this out. Sorry about the inconvenience. Now, if he starts freaking out, then, you know, I guess they have to do something. If they didn't taser him, they'd have to forcibly restrain the guy in the middle of the Chuck E. Cheese. You know, personally, I think that you would have to have big enough cops there just to grab this motherfucker and take him outside. You know, sometimes, yeah, cops got to manhandle people. That's just reality. People are fucking stupid. And they're all like, you can't touch me. I know my rights. Okay, well, that's cool, guy, but we all have to, you know, make sure you're not stealing. Okay, the manager of the fucking Chuck E. Cheese has got his rights, too. Now, that said, getting trigger happy with a set of fucking tasers over a salad is a little bit much. That's relying too much on technology. Tasers shouldn't be just, you know, oh, rather than touch somebody, I'm just going to taser the fuck out of them. I think these cops think this non-lethal, this is a classic example of why you have to explain to people that non-lethal doesn't mean trigger happy. Okay, just because it's non-lethal, you're fucking people up and there's a good chance that these tasers can kill you. Now, moving on past that, it's the end of the world. Apparently, now we've got a whole bunch of shit coming down the pipe. The I Ching says 2012 is the end of the world. The Mayan calendar says 2012 is the end of the world. And now the scientists are saying it's the end of the world. According to some computer scientists, working along with a group of geologists and astrophysicists, Earth and Sun will both go through a process of magnetic pole reversal in, when? You best it, 2012. This last happened millions of years back when the dinosaurs disappeared. Poof. A private research and analysis company in Hyderabad is predicting a major upheaval in 2012. This is from India. That's what they call it in India. Magnetic pole reversal is a process when the North Pole and South Pole reverse positions. When this happens at some point of time, the Earth's magnetic field reaches zero gas, which simply means the Earth at some point has zero magnetism. This coincides with an 11-year cycle of the sun's polar reversal. A major problem arises. So everything takes a cosmic dump. In the modern human history, such happenings are not recorded. Only computer models can predict the outcome. NASA recently has brought the public fear down by saying polar reversals will make Earth's magnetism weak and erratic, but not zero. Cows turn themselves inside out all the time. According to the Hyderabad computer model, the polar reversal of the Earth and Sun causes the following serious problems other than electric malfunction, migrating birds, loss of sense of direction, so you'll have, like, sparrows fucking dive-bombing your car. It'll be crazy. They're trying to get to Bermuda. They're trying to park in your fucking driveway. It'll be horrible. The immune system of all animals, including humans, will also be weakened. Well, great. Good. That's awesome. So now maybe that's why all these flus are coming around, so all the immune systems are taking a shit. This is why, you know, you want to start mowing on the garlic. The Earth's crust will experience increasing volcanoes, tectonic movements, earthquakes, and landslides. Well, yeah, that's also happening too. Yeah, it's everywhere. Earth's magnetosphere will weaken. The cosmic radiation from the sun will increase many folds, making radiation hazards like cancer and so on inevitable. And I don't know about you, but I'm here to tell you, give me some feedback here. I think it's brighter. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even shitting you. When you go outside, man, it seems brighter, like you want to wear sunglasses all the fucking time when you're outside and it's sunny. If you got a little bit of cloud cover, it's not so bad, but when it's sunny now, holy shit, man, it's really, really bright. I don't know, maybe I'm a crackhead over here, okay? Maybe I'm spending too much time in the dark, but still, dude, that's fucked up. And of course, last but not least, second to last, large asteroids will be drawn towards the Earth, and Earth's gravitational fields will experience a change, though no one knows how it will change. Maybe it'll stop. That'd be fucking cool, and we could all start doing the low grav thing and bouncing around, like, you know, on the bounce. That'd be tight. That'd be so tight. Personally, I'm not really too worried about it. Why? Because I'm a wog. I am a wog. I have all the kit I need, and if I'm going to die, I'll die tired, running, and probably in some bivouac somewhere. I am not going to go gently into that good night. There's no way. It's not going to kill everybody. Yeah, you know, a meteor comes down, whoop, there it is. Well, there's not much you can do. I mean, you sit there, whack. You know, concussion wave, shitty. But for me and all the other wogs, it'll be Thursday. You know, we're all going to be worried about, well, I guess I got to worry about what? The next meal. Make sure that me and mine, my family, people I love and care about and all that good shit are looked after. You know, we should come up with a series of hand signs, maybe some glyphs or greetings or small banners or standards or something, so that when this does happen and all society does take a shit, we could just have little indicators up so other wogs can tell where the wogs are. We can all hang out and be like, hey, what's up? Well, you know. What are you doing? Not much. Drinking some cola. Everything's cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You play that new game yet? No, I got a good rip, though. You know, everyone's like, oh, God, we're dying. You know, whatever. It'll be Wednesday, and the wogs will prevail. Why? Because we got the good stuff. That's just how it works. Now, Canada, Canadians, us, you know, crazy anti-missile terrorist-loving bastards up here. We're now going with the Blackberries. This is kind of interesting because I got some friends in the Comm Corps. I'd like to find out if I could get some cool crypto or some inside info for you guys on this. But apparently, the Canadian military and U.S. security agencies have launched a joint effort to make BlackBerry portable communications devices more secure. Good luck. Hoping to one day use them to exchange top-secret information. Okay, you motherfuckers lose laptops, and you're going to tell me you're not going to lose your BlackBerry? Defense Research and Development Canada, the Canadian Communications Security Establishment, and the U.S. National Security Agency are among those involved with a year-long trial. The two countries will develop improved security on the handheld personal data assistant designed by Research in Motion of Waterloo, Ontario. With its cell phone, email, calendar, and contact list, the BlackBerry is considered a blessing and a curse by users because it never allows them peace. Yes, it's the digital leash, also digital leash tracking mechanism and everything else. This is why, as a user, you need to learn how to use Linux. You need to understand how computers work. You need to understand how drivers work. You need to understand how hardware works. That is why I've recently come to the conclusion that for people who just want to use computers to get shit done, you know, they'll go with Windows. Why? Because you don't need to know shit to know how to use Windows. Which is true, you don't. I mean, if you want to do the domain level management, stuff like that, CyberTech's going to phone me up and cut my head off. But, you know, seriously, you really don't need to have a high user level knowledge base in order to use Microsoft. You don't. You don't. And Linux is trying to compete with that. But generally, people who have knowledge of hardware, you know, who could crack open the case, pull a couple cards out, check the RAM, you know, could do some basic level troubleshooting. You know, these people are more inclined to be Linux people. And honestly, what a great way to track who's a subversive. Pretty soon it's going to be like, and he uses a Linux code. Oh my God, he's got open source software. You know, that's exactly the way it's going to go. And you can see how that using a BlackBerry and stuff like this, this would be important for the military, but I'd have to be real careful with security, guys. Now more than ever, I mean, the kids are getting sharper every fucking day. I would love to have the time to dedicate to turn into, like, you know, hardcore Section 9 major hacker type, okay? Like, lock the fuck down. That'd be rad. But, unfortunately, you know, I've got stories to write. I got news shows to do. Generally, you know, I just don't have the time. I mean, I could probably start taking modafinil and staying awake all night. That'd be pretty hackerish. But I'd be worried about, you know, the brain case gets all fucked up, you know, and my wife's all wondering, what are you doing? Not much? Haven't you slept yet? Yeah, I slept when you were sleeping. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. I was in here all night. You didn't come in here. Yeah, I did. You were asleep. Doesn't really work. One of the problems being married, they know when you sleep. Oh, bummer. Now, back to the goddamn ozone layer. That thing's taking a shit, too. Solar flares and frigid temperatures are believed to be working with human chemicals to eat away the protective ozone layer above the North Pole. Surprising scientists who've been looking for evidence that the planet's ozone layer is healing. It's not healing. It's taking a cosmic dump. The ozone layer protects the Earth from dangerous ultraviolet radiation, which can cause skin cancer and burns the fuck out of you. Now, I will issue this little statement right now. Those of you who are like, wow, Sean sure knows a lot. That's why he does After Now, and all his predictions are coming true. Okay, they're not predictions, okay? They're trends. That's how I was able to do the After Now. I digest a shitload of data. One day, I'd like to actually produce, I wonder if you could do that with Firefox, if you could export it as a file, and just post it to my live journal or something like that, so that people could download it, so they could see what my daily checks are. Because let me tell you, my bookmarks, daily checks, favors, whatever the fuck you want to call it, are mighty, okay? And I do them about once a day. This is how I'm able, and plus, now bear in mind, that I have got wogs all over fucking, you know, terra firma, who are sending me data that is bleeding edge, okay? So realistically, not to say that I'm, you know, some great fucking guy or anything else like that, but that's a hell of a tool. Okay, you got to give me that. That is one fuck of a tool. And you could pretty much drop a retarded monkey with that kind of gear and having that much email coming out, and he's going to know what the fuck's going on if he knows how to read and the language is coming in the same format as he understands. I mean, you got to give me that. So I get to see a lot of this stuff, and the same trends keep occurring again and again. My brain works that way. I can spot these trends. And it's just, I don't know, so I call it, sometimes I'm off, you know, but I think my percentage of being right is pretty fucking good, and that's why, you know, I've been calling about this stuff for years. There's nothing psychic going on here, I wish it was, you know, I wish I could, you know, chant, do some Huna Huna crystal stuff, and be rocking and rolling, because believe you me, if I could get the forces of the netherworld and beyond the veil and the umbra and all that shit working for the wogs, and we can, you know, somehow have some sort of supernatural coup to thwart, you know, whatever agents of darkness are trying to run our government, believe me. I'd be on that. I've thought of this. Okay, bear in mind, I am a horror writer. The brain's constantly overclocked. There's not much I can do about it. But anyways, when you look at the ozone layer taking a dump, we've known this was coming. This, you don't have to be Kreskin to figure this one out. Last winter, Arctic zone declined more precipitously than ever in the upper atmosphere, probably because of violent storms on the sun's surface. One team reports today in the Journal Geophysical Research Letters. In recent days, a lower layer ozone has undergone extraordinary thinning because of level bitter cold, about minus 110, that's fucking gross, rarely seen in the Arctic, and man-made chemicals. So you got extreme temperature with these chemicals is, you know, fucking the ozone. The two unusual findings have experts worried that they don't fully understand the dynamics of ozone depletion. Quote, I don't think we can be confident about whether or not we're seeing ozone recovery or if we're attributing recovery to the correct causes, said Cora Randall, an atmospheric scientist at the University of Colorado. So, you know, you got to give it to these scientists. At what point do they say, hey, we're all going to fucking die. There's not much we can do about it. Because for the last, you know, fucking 200 years, we've been taking a shit on the ozone layer. Nobody cares. We've been screaming at you guys. Nobody listens. So now I guess we all die, you know. And if that was the case, would you still think that these ecological types, you know, the guys tying themselves to trees and, you know, shooting people who are trying to cut down forests and stuff, would you still think that they're extremists? Or would you think, damn, we should have fought harder? Would you still think that the guy trying to save Mother Earth here from the chemical companies and stuff like that, who used the extreme direct action measures, would you still call him a psychopath if you knew you were going to die tomorrow from a solar flare that could have been prevented? You see what I'm saying? These people have a point. Now, maybe their method of, you know, executing this whole eco-terrorism thing is a bit off. Maybe that's a bit bad, but, you know, they got a fucking point. You know, they are fighting for the little blue ball. You know, we do have to bear that in mind. That's why I really enjoyed going to Texas when I was at the... You know, if you are living in Texas, okay, and you have not been to the Space Center down there, you have no excuse. Okay, I'm bad because I live in BC and I haven't gone and I don't ski. You know, it's not my thing. But if you live near a Space Center, fucking go there. Will you go there? Because those people have their shit sorted out. Okay, like NASA, I've got a hard-on for the guys at NASA. I really do. Those guys have got their shit dialed. I'm a crazy guy yelling into a steel fist in the middle of Canada, okay? But realistically, once you get up there and you see the little blue ball and everybody just kind of gets in perspective and you go, you know, there's not a lot of fucking space out here. We got this little blue marble in this vast expanse of sweet fuck all, which has life on it. Let's try to keep it together. And the people at NASA have that mentality, man. I mean, realistically, I think that every president should do a few stints at NASA. You know, you want to talk about what, you know, maybe we should have, like, something where the president is elected, then he goes through, like, a year-long, you know, wisdom sort of thing, where he kind of gets a clue about world peace and shit, so that, you know, he can be isolated from the oil merchants and all the cocksuckers who put him in power in the first place. Just a thought. Now, the U.S. military is funding this project now. We're getting on with the non-lethal things. The Army's getting involved with this. The U.S. military is funding and developing a weapon that can deliver a bout of excruciating pain from two clicks out, intended for use against rioters. There it is, right there, second line. Intended for use against rioters. Rioters. Is that rioters? Because how many riots have we had? Not many. So you're talking protesters, which is another term for, you know, rioters, protest, riot. Protest riot terrorists, terrorist rioters, rioting terrorists. It is meant to leave victims unharmed. Okay, yeah, you fucking scorch yourself in pain. See what that does to the old cerebral cortex there. But pain researchers are furious that work aimed at controlling pain has been used to develop a weapon. They fear the technology will be used for torture. Yeah, think? I am deeply concerned about the ethical aspects of this research, said Andrew Rice, a consultant in pain medicine at Chelsea Westminster Hospital, London. Even if the use of temporary pain can be justified as a restraining measure, I do not believe it can. A long-term physical and psychological effects are unknown. Pain management depends largely on the individual. They'll even say that gas and shit like that, like mace and that, which hurts like a mofo, does not work, quote-unquote, against goal-oriented individuals. Meaning that if I'm just angry and flailing around, you gas me, I'll be like, ah! But if I'm coming to cut your throat and you gas me, now my face is on fire and I'm cutting your throat. And if you go far enough back, even pain to the well-trained will not affect them. I mean, the samurai edict was one that was like, you know, you could cut my fucking head off and my body will still complete the strike that I was designed. That's the way these people train. And when you're dealing with the hardcore soldier, that's the way they train. So this pain weaponry thing, I mean, I think it's fucking hideous. You know, oh, well, we'll just, you know, add a couple of hundred watts of pain to these people, whatever, just apply pain. This isn't like sunscreen here, guys. You're putting people through agony. The researcher came to light in documents unearthed by the Sunshine Project. Oh, I love those guys. An organization based in Texas and Hamburg that exposes biological weapons research. The papers were released under U.S. Freedom of Information Act. It comes out to the WOGs. WOGs send it to me. I give it to you. One document, a research contact between the Office of Naval Research and the University of Florida in Gainesville, is entitled Sensory Consequences of Electromagnetic Pulse Emitted by Laser-Induced Plasmas. Now, we talked about pain lasers a while ago. It concerns so-called pulse energy projectiles, PEPs, which fire a laser that generates a burst of expanding plasma when it hits something solid like a person. That was from New Scientist, 12 October. The weapon, destined for use in 2007, could literally knock rioters off their feet. According to a 2003 review of non-lethal weapons by the U.S. Naval Studies Board, which advises that the Navy and Marine Corps PEPs produce pain and temporary paralysis in tests on animals. That's nice. This appears to be the result of electromagnetic pulse produced by an expanding plasma, which triggers impulsive nerve cells, blah, 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 blah. So it's a pain ray. The new study, which runs until July, will be carried out with researchers at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, aims to optimize the effect. The idea is to work out how to generate a pulse which triggers pain neurons without damaging tissue. Now, from another article, though, in England, from the Register, Andrew Rice, you know, said even if all of his comments in this one article, but Andrew Rice, same guy, said, even if the use of temporary severe pain can be justified as a restraining measure, which I do not believe it can, the long-term physical and psychological effects are unknown. So you start, you know, you don't have to be a brainchild to see what the long-term effects of people who are tortured are. Okay, there's psychological damage which is done there. Now, if you start taking rioters and heaping pain upon them, that is nothing more than just negative reinforcement. If you riot and protest, we will give you pain. He who breaks the law goes back to the house of pain. That's exactly what they're doing here. Okay? This isn't freedom. This is not fucking freedom. What is that? You're designing weapons to be used specifically against your own people. Is anyone in the military, you know, kind of believe any of that shit they swear to? Are you swearing allegiance to the nation, which is some weird god-type state? Because the nation doesn't exist without the people. It's mom and pop. They're the people, the guys running the candy stores. That's the ones who make up America. The hardworking, you know, whoever you are. That's America. It's not, you know, the flag. That's all just symbols, man. Leave symbols to the symbol-minded. Now, who called this one? You know, remember when I said that everything was taking a financial dump and eventually even Greenspan would get into the act? Well, here it is. Alan Greenspan, the Federal Reserve Chairman, warned today that the federal budget deficits are unsustainable and urged Congress that to consider both spending cuts and tax increases as possible solutions. Nice one, Al. Good fucking plan. You know, it's not like all the people out there. Let's give spending cuts to the poor and tax increases as well to the poor. His gloomiest assessment yet. Oh, it's gloomy. It's not gloomy. It's the fucking end of the whole economic system, and they call it gloomy. About the government's budget outlook, Mr. Greenspan warned that annual shortfalls were, quote, unlikely to improve substantially in the coming years unless major deficit-reducing actions are taken, like declaring war on the world. The federal chairman emphasized that his strong preference was to reduce the deficit through spending cuts rather than tax increases. But he insisted that Congress needed to offset costs of making Mr. Bush's tax cuts permanent. Addressing the government's own imbalances will require scrutiny of both spending and taxes, Mr. Greenspan told members of the House Budget Committee. Though the federal chairman has made similar pleas in the past, he spoke more urgently today and disagreed more adamantly with the Republican lawyer and President Bush, who have steadfastly refused to put restrictions on new tax cuts. When do you begin to do the arithmetic of what the rising debt level implied by the definite tells you, and you add interest costs of ever-rising debt at ever-higher interest rates, the system becomes fiscally destabilizing. That's a quote from Mr. Greenspan. Unless we do something to, here's a good word, ameliorate in a very significant manner, which means unless we do something to stop and decrease the debt in a very significant manner, we will be in a state of stagnation. Which means that if you don't stop doing what you're doing, everything's going to get really, really nasty. Okay? Clue in. Hello. When Alan Greenspan's like, whoa, hey, guys, you know, the war on the world thing, not so good. Not so good on the wallet, not so good on the nation, not so good on the fucking kids, you know? Incidentally, it's 1,500 more kids that I'd like to see killed. And if there was any Vietnam vets or anyone like that who is listening who I am not an authority on Vietnam in any way, shape, or form. I have read some literature on it. And I do have a great deal of respect for any vet, whether they were in any war, anywhere. And also, don't ever think for a moment that I would belittle any soldier returning from the desert. My heart goes out to you. If there's anything that I could do for you guys, I would. If they offered to have me go to Iraq tomorrow and meet soldiers, I would. In a fucking heartbeat. You know, that's just me, though. But anyway, on to RFID in Japan. Okay? Thomas, an after-school cram school in Tokyo metropolitan area. Now, that's a scary concept. This is like after you go to school, you go to another school, which is designed to cram stuff into your head so that you can make just make the grade. And that's where America's going. Kids today got to work harder and harder and harder just to even keep up. And that's where we're going. We're going towards this whole Asian way of doing things. And it's not, you know, that's in no way, don't even think that's a racial thing or something like that. But it's just that they've got the population density. They've thought it through. I happen to think that, you know, the whole Asian area, Chinese, China, Japan, all that stuff, those people have got their shit dialed. They know what they need to do the whole business thing, okay? So this is just, you know, it's inevitable that that'll happen here. Now, an after-school cram school in Tokyo metropolitan area introduced a system that uses what? RFID to send an SMS messages to parents when their kids arrive and leave cram schools. When the kids arrive and leave at a cram school, they show their RFID cards to a reader that automatically sends an SMS message to their parents. Wow, talk about track. Masaru Kun arrived here at 4:30 p.m. Cram school's hours typically start in the evening, could last till very late at night, so parents would probably welcome this system if it gives better peace of mind. So yet another way to, you know, track your children and get them more indoctrinated into a lab rat police state. What a great idea. What a fantastic plan that is. Now, I believe that, you know, and this is one of the reasons why they really want to shut down the internet. They want to stop kids from talking to other kids and wasting their time on this crazy internet stuff and playing games and being living beings. Staying alive, practicing the individual thought, all these horrible fucking things that we got to drive out of children, you know. And if we can't drive it out, we'll medicate it out. All this creativity. What are these pictures of fairies and butterflies? What, are you fucking insane? How is this going to improve the nation's profit margin? Jesus Christ. Now, fuck the FCC. Build a television. Now, I am a big hater of TV, okay? I'm a big fan of killing the TV. However, I would side with this girl here from the article. All I want is to make a high-definition copy of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, save it to a DVD, and loan it to my friend without running into 9 guys. The FCC fucked. Okay, well, that last part wasn't on there. But anyway, and loan it to my friend, says Sharon Braden, looking up from a long table covered with half-built computers. These sound like the words of a science fiction nerd. Oh, nice. Nice labeling. We like that, science fiction nerd. Incidentally, would you note that everyone who's leading the industry would technically fall into that category? You fucking writer. Not a revolutionary. Ooh, but Bryden is a new breed of protester, and she's expressing her discontent to the U.S. government by building a television. Ooh, now, bear in mind, there's lots of electronics you're not allowed to build. There's already stuff you're not allowed to build, a spark gap generator. No, that's illegal. Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to build a phaser. No, that's illegal. She's one of a dozen consumer activists who've gathered on Sunday morning in late January for a high-definition television build-in at the Mission District office of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where the guy who wrote this works. Part computer hardware nerdfest, part hell-raising political action, the build-in is a high-tech protest of a new Federal Communications Commission regulation called the Broadcast Flag. According to the FCC, the flag is going to ease the nation's transition from today's analog televisions to tomorrow's high-definition televisions. What exactly does it mean for a government agency to, quote-unquote, ease the transition from one kind of TV signal to another? In this case, it seems to mean making the entertainment industry feel very warm and fuzzy inside. Yeah, I got some warm and fuzzy for you. The broadcast flag is designed, poorly, to stop people from putting high-quality recordings of TV shows on popular file-sharing networks like BitTorrent. In reality, it will give the government unprecedented amounts of control over what we do in our own homes with the recordings of HDTV. The flag is supposed to stop mass copying and infringement, but will also stop consumers from perfectly legal activities like saving hard drive copies of shows for personal use. Now, no rip intended, by the way. I'm sure the dude who's the writer at the EFF is a good guy. I just bugs the fuck out of me when people, like, you know, feel the need to belittle sci-fi nerds because, well, you know, I am one. You know, yeah, you bet. You know, I've got some Doctor Who tapes. You bet. Mass trend prediction. I'm going to lay down a mass trend prediction. You know, that story about the FCC building a television to thwart the FCC, I think not only should you build your own TV, I think you should build everything you can. Why not recycle the shit out of it all? You know, buy used clothes. Go to Value, whatever it is. You know, whatever your thrift stores are. Fuck the consumer market. $50 for a T-shirt. Will you give me a fucking break? Give me a break. There's no way you can value that kind of amount of fabric. Go look at the price of fabric. Retail. Retail. Go look at the price of T-shirt fabric. Okay, assume now it takes an hour to make a T-shirt, which is way the fuck off. You're still winding up with an item that is maybe worth $20 if you hired retarded monkeys to do it, okay, and you got ripped off, maybe $20 in production. Realistically, it's about, you know, probably a buck, maybe $2, and then they're charging $50, and all this extra cash is going where? Into the pockets of business. And, well, you know, you have to pay for overhead. I don't give a fuck about your overhead. I don't give a fuck about any of it, okay? None of it is. If the $50 was going to, you know, the kid pissing in the bucket, I'd probably be a little bit better with that, you know, because it would help the kid. Even, and after the kid's driving a Beamer, I'd be like, okay, you know what, no more $50 t-shirts for you. But dude, you know, I think that we should really start recycling, because money is going to be hard to come by pretty quick, and you better increase your knowledge base. Now, there's a spin on an article, and I was talking about licensing education, and this is going to be coming more and more. Billy Boy Gates there was talking about how schools are obsolete. Now we got this news report coming out, and this is a trend. This is a trend. So I think the next big issue that's going to be hit, and I'll call it right now today, we'll see if I'm right, but you're going to see a whole bunch of stuff talking about privatization of schools, like hardcore privatization of schools and unrealistic preferences given to people who go to private schools. Which is, you know, only given. You want to hire the best people. So eventually it's going to come to the point where a corporation will not hire people if they've gone to public school. Because obviously you have enough demand of people who are in from private schools. So there you go. You'll either have to have straight A's from a public school. And if you got a guy who's got straight A's from a public school, and you got a guy from a straight A's with a private school, who the fuck are you going to hire? Well, the dude from the private school. Why? Because you got to be an elitist motherfucker to go there in the first place. So they're obviously going to fit with the corporate standard better. Come on. Think like they do, man. But anyway, here's the article. Imagine being the parent of a 15-year-old sophomore at an elite high school who comes home with a report card ranking him near the bottom of his class in math. Oh my God, knowing your child will soon enter the same job market as his classmates, would you be concerned? Would you work with him to improve? Would you begin to question the way math is taught in school? Would you talk to your kid? How about that? The United States got such a report card in December, with an international test ranked our 15-year-olds 24th in math out of 29 industrialized nations that belong to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Science skills in the U.S., 15-year-olds fell below the 29-nation average as well. These scores are a wake-up call to anyone concerned about America's economic future. Well, it's also a wake-up call to anyone who's concerned about, you know, children, just a thought. Highly skilled workers trained in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics are the ones who generate breakthrough innovations that lead to productivity gains. Yes, but that doesn't mean they're all straight-A students. Quite often there's weirdos in basements who do a lot better work than a lot of these fuckers who can just recite information off the top of their head. But I digress. An economic growth and higher standards of living. America enjoys a high standard of living, but we all are failing behind in producing the technical talent we need to sustain our economic leadership in the world. Is that the same economic leadership that Alan Greenspan was just talking about, where everything's going to take a dump pretty quick? Consider what has happened over the last generation. In 1975, the United States ranked among the top three industrialized nations for a percentage of 24-year-olds holding bachelor's degrees in sciences and engineering. Well, that just means that you bought a lot of degrees. It doesn't say shit about your education level, but that's okay. Since then, 12 countries from Ireland to South Korea have leapfrogged the United States on this score. Increasingly, America relies on foreign scientists and engineers to make their way to our shores, to the land of opportunity to work in labs and contribute to the U.S. economic growth. By 2000, close to half of the engineers, computer scientists, and life scientists with PhDs in the United States were foreign-born, according to the National Science Board. Holy shit. That's kind of weird, eh? 50% of all the doctors coming out of the American universities aren't even Americans? weird. Not that I want to get all into the, you know, the hardcore bigotry of, you know, foreign-born and national and international and alien and everything. You know, we should probably just, rather than, you know, try to, you know, keep the foreigners out. No. You just want to make sure that everybody's playing along nice, and you got to make sure that your people are doing good. You know, what's wrong? Why is only half of them there? You know, the school should be full of people trying to get education, because education is the key to a better future. But they're not. And why is that? Oh, because of money. Because there's more poor people and people can't seem to get into these fucking schools. Like, this isn't math here. Okay, this is pretty simple stuff. And, of course, we have more news on the coming blog crackdown. Free speech, not for you, you internet fucker, you. Bradley Smith says that the freewheeling days of political blogging and online punditry are over. Really, Bradley? In just a few months, he warns that bloggers and news organizations could risk the wrath of the federal government if they improperly link to campaign websites, even forwarding a political candidate's press release onto a mailing list, depending on the details, that could be punished by fines. On forwarding candidates' press releases. It's a press release. We forward the press release, and you face a fucking fine. Smith should know he's one of six commissioners at the Federal Elections Commission, which is beginning the perilous process of extending a controversial 2002 campaign finance law to the internet. In 2002, the FEC exempted the internet by 4-2 vote over the U.S. District Judge Colleen Kohler-Coatley last fall, overturned that decision. The commission's exclusion of internet communications from coordinated communications regulation severely undermines the campaign finance law's purposes. Blah, 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 blah. Smith and other two Republican commissioners wanted to appeal the internet-related sections because they couldn't get three Democrats to go along with them. Smith described it as bizarre regulatory process now underway. CNET spoke with Smith about the Bipartisan Campaign for Reform Act of 2002, better known as the McCain-Feingold Law, and its forthcoming extrusion to the internet. Now, I'm against any regulation of the internet because it's just talking. All you're doing is talking, okay? You should be able to say whatever you want. Isn't that the whole point of being an American? Isn't that the whole point of free speech? Come on now, cut the shit. Well, you know, we just feel that who gives a fuck what you feel? Who gives a fuck what you feel? Let's just talk about the basis of the nation and what the whole America freedom thing is supposed to be about. What about the whole North America freedom thing? Okay, we have to be able to talk, okay, on a very base level. Talk to Stephen Hawking. Okay, as long as there's communication, be it right, be it wrong, you can't silence people. You have to let people express their ideas. If they're full of shit, it'll get found out, and everyone will see that it's full of shit by verifiable data. But don't try to regulate information. That is the key to evolution. Now, bad idea of the fucking day. Remote teddy bears. Now, they're calling these robots, and it's pissing me off. But here, let me do the article. A teddy bear sitting in the corner of a child's room might look normal until its head starts following the kid around using face recognition program, perhaps also allowing a parent to talk to the child through a special phone. Or monitoring a child via camera and wireless internet connection. Now, there's also another one that I did a story on a little while ago where they could actually give the child a hug through this teddy bear as well. The child, you know, here's a hug, daddy, and then it says hug on the screen. You can press hug from your rat cage on the in the office, and you can hug your child vicariously through the eyes of this little fucking toy. Oh, my God. The plush prototype on display at Microsoft Corp's annual gadget showcase Wednesday is one of several ideas researchers have for robots. It's not a robot, it's a remote. The idea is to create a virtual being that can visit the neighboring cubicle for a live telephone chat, even as its owner has traveled thousands of miles away, or lets the plumber into the house while its owner enjoys a pleasant afternoon in the sun. Plenty of companies are already building robots for the workplace, and toy companies have created plush dolls that know a child's name, can incorporate other personal information. But Steve Bathinch, a researcher and development program manager with Redmond-based Microsoft, says this company's project goes further. The vision behind this is to be two places at once. The Teddy Project was one of about 150 projects on display at Microsoft Tech Fest, a two-day event that gives Microsoft's worldwide team of researchers chances to show product developers their sometimes far-flung creations, perhaps find a fit for the project's and future marketable product. Now, maybe I'm paranoid, maybe I'm a bad person here, but if you make these things hackable, who's going to be interested in hacking into a teddy bear sitting with a prepubescent child? Yes, that's right. You've got a whole market for pedophilic hackers there. Now, I hate pedophiles. Now, some people say, Sean, that's paranoid. Yeah, if you have a connection which takes some user to come into your house and spend time with your children, perhaps even communicating with that child. Okay, do you realize that you've now got, you've lost control of a direct port to your developing child? So for that reason alone, I find that risk to be too great. Thanks for coming out. Okay, I'm not going to be messing even remotely around with that. So I think that these, if it was a robot and it was closed circuit, nobody could get in, I'd be more keen with it. But I don't even want a chance. Not a chance that some sick fucker could get in there with my kids. No way. Not a fucking prayer. Today's daily hack is from Sergeant Tibbs. How to beat the FBI. At best, the FBI does not have a history of respecting civil rights. Whether you're guilty or innocent doesn't matter. You're always treated the same way during an FBI investigation, unfairly, especially if surveillance is involved. If you snooze, you lose. It's that simple. Many of us are sleepwalking through life, and if you don't pay attention, you're going to pay, especially if you engage in behavior that attracts the FBI. Make no mistake about it. The FBI surveillance teams are lethal. They're very effective at what they do. They've got lots of experience. They've got massive resources. In a major investigation, 30 agents watching one person is commonplace. You never see the same agent twice. You never see the same vehicle twice. The FBI's triple threat surveillance strategy is of multi-layer teams. Rapid response and managed aggression must be taken seriously. Threat one. A multi-layer team can fool you into thinking that surveillance has ended. This is an extremely dangerous situation. They're still lurking nearby, of course, waiting for you to do or say something incriminating. Threat two. Same-day response of the FBI means that surveillance might begin before you are ready for it. If they catch you unprepared, the FBI surveillance team may end up watching you trying to hide the very material that you're hoping to conceal from them. Threat three is the FBI's policy of managing aggression can easily provoke you into losing your temper, your nerve, or both. It's a wicked strategy. That's why they use it. It's easy to see why most people are easy prey for FBI's surveillance machine, but it doesn't need to be that way. Go to the Daily Hack, check it out. You will get all the information you need there to be able to fuck over the FBI. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back on Monday to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. Sims in Cuba, so it'll just be me, baby. All me, all the time. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight for the survival of our rights. And those people are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Peter, Forrest, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Diremude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. New subscribers this month were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Thank you so much, guys, for signing up and keeping a monthly thing coming in so that we can keep the daily thing going out. If you would like to keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Special thanks to the Netrunners who made this broadcast possible. Astrofix, Iridium, Sylvanus, PolySci, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Psychofish, No Delete, Foulware, again. Oh, I got them twice there. Must have sent me two stories that I thought were really dope. Winati, Trebu, Bonsai Poppy, Madar Pro, Dual, Sigh. Thank you so much. No digital baptisms today, but that's okay. And everyone else who's given me any assistance in gathering data, if you have sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, which I really do, make sure you pick up the album Binary Sex by More Machine Than Man. This is Nesh of KMFDM fame. That's one of his side projects. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
One morning at breakfast, I said to my wife, we've been everywhere once and some places twice. As I had another helping of country ham, she said, we ain't never been to Vietnam. There's a bunch of our boys over there. So we went to the Orient, Saigon. Well, we got a big welcome when we drove in to the gates of a place that they call Long Ben. We checked in and everything got kind of quiet, but a soldier boy said, just wait till tonight, things get noisy. Things start happening. Big, bad firecracker. Well, that night we did about four shows for the boys, and they were living it up with a whole lot of noise. We did our last song for the night, and we crawled into bed for some peace and quiet, but things weren't peaceful. And things weren't quiet. Things were scary. Well, for a few minutes, June never said one word, and I thought at first that she hadn't heard. Then a shell exploded not 2 miles away. She sat up in bed, and I heard her say, what was that? I said, that was a shell or a a bomb. She said, I'm scared. I said, me too. Well, all night long that noise kept on, and the sound would chill you right to the bone. The bullets and the bombs and the mortar shells shook our bed every time one fell, and it never let up. It was gonna get worse before it got any better. Well, when the sun came up, the noise died down. We got a few minutes sleep, and we were sleeping sound. Then a soldier knocked on our door and said, the last night they brought in 7 dead and 14 wounded. And would we come down to the base hospital and see the boys? Yeah. So we went to the hospital ward by day, and every night we were singing away. Then the shells and the bombs till dawn again, and the helicopters brought in a wounded man. Night after night, day after day, coming and a-going. So we sadly sang for them our last song, and reluctantly we said so long. We did our best to let them know that we care for every last one of them that's over there. Whether we belong over there or not, somebody over here loves us and needs them. Well, now that's about all that there is to tell about that little trip into living hell. And if I ever go back over there anymore, hope there's none of our boys there for me to sing for. I hope that war's over with and they all come back home to stay in peace.